Don't you wonder how the Lord ever made himself heard? When you think of him, oh, there we go. When the Lord spoke to a multitude of people, 5,000 men besides women and children, and they drew near to hear him. And when he stood in the boat that Peter brought into shore, and the folk gathered on the shoreline to hear him, and they were able to hear him. What a wonderful thing it is that the Lord enabled them to hear him. And we trust you here tonight. And we trust the Lord will help us again this evening as we come again to the scriptures tonight. Number of places I would like to read with you tonight. And let's begin tonight in Ephesians in chapter number 2. The Epistle to the Ephesians and in chapter number 2. Great chapter that tells us about these people at Ephesus. They were like ourselves, they were dead in sins and all the rest of it. And then Paul goes on to write to them about the grace of God and all the rest of it, and what he has done for them. And maybe you can look your own. I'm going to read it to you tonight from another translation that maybe might just come a little fresh to you. I hope it will. Ephesians 2 verse 4. But God is so rich in mercy, and he loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. It's only by God's grace that you have been saved. For he raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with him in heavenly realms because we are united with Christ Jesus. So God can point to us in all future ages as examples of the incredible wealth of his grace and kindness toward us, as shown in all he has done for us who are united to Christ, with Christ Jesus. God saved you by his grace when you believed, and you can't take credit for this. Salvation is a gift from God and is not a reward for the good things that we have done. So none of us can boast about it. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. So we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. Now, go with me please to 2 Corinthians, and we'll take a reading from it. 2 Corinthians and chapter number 5. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. Here's a great chapter. I encourage you to read this chapter. It's actually the chapter that tells us about the things that motivated and moved the Apostle Paul. If you want, the things that made him tick. And he goes down and he speaks again of the contrast between the eternal and the physical and natural and the body and all and the soul and all the rest of it. But go down. I'm not going to take time with those tonight. We'll get off the track. So go down, please, to verse 9. Wherefore we labour, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive, you had to insert there if you wanted, everyone may receive back again the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Go back to 1 Corinthians, please, chapter 3. 1 Corinthians, and this time to chapter number 3. 1 Corinthians, chapter number 3, and go first of all down, please, to verse 9. For we are laborers together with God. Ah, amazing thought. We're laborers together with God. God could do everything without us, mind you. But in his grace, he chooses to use us and to have us involved. Ye are God's cultivated field, is the thought. Ye are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth on it. but let every man take heed how he buildeth upon it. For other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble. There's two different sets of things that can be built on. Silver, precious stones, and gold, or wood, hay, and stubble. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall test every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built upon it, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet as by fire. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God? Now this is the local church here he's speaking about. We read the other night about being the temple in another passage, chapter 6. Here he's speaking about the local church being the temple of God. If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. The two words actually are the same in the original. If any man destroy the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Now again, we could read more, but we'll maybe not take time to read more just now in that one. Go with me, please, to chapter 4. Chapter 4. And he's saying here, verse 1, let a man so account of us as of the ministers, or really the word is servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Here's a verse I want you to notice. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. It is required in servants or stewards that a man be found faithful. Now finally, Hebrews, please, in chapter number 4. Let's look at the Hebrews. And this time we'll go to chapter number 4. Hebrews 4, verse number 12. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast the profession of our faith. For we have not an high priest who cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, apart from sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in every time of need. And we trust that God will bless these readings to you this evening. Now then, I hope we'll be getting, by the way, I can hear this sound ringing a bit tonight, but maybe it's all right for the rest of you. It'll be all right for me if it's all right for you. Anyway, I hope you've begun to enjoy these things that we have promised from the Lord, that he will not let us go. He's given us eternal life, and no one's able to take us out of the hand of the Lord. Then we saw that he will not let us out. And we have made him king of our lives. And the Lord works on our lives. And he's been doing that for some of us for a lifetime, to turn us into what he wants us to be, that we might be conformed to the image of his Son. That's ultimately his purpose, that we might be like the Lord Jesus Christ. Now let me say this, and to say it in the last one. Don't get discouraged, by the way, because all of us have flaws and faults and failures. There are perfect Christians. Did you know that? You haven't met any. Neither have I. because they're all in heaven. But someday we'll meet them. They'll be perfect, and so will we. What a difference that'll be. But in the meantime, we're full of these things. We're talking about this today. There's nothing as strong as relationship. Right? There's nothing that we can do that will take us or stop us being the sons and daughters of God. We are His children. We've been brought into His family. And there's nothing that will take us out of that. That's what we learned. We've got eternal life as a gift. But there's nothing as fragile as fellowship. Nothing as strong as relationship. Nothing as fragile as fellowship. You may have learned that in your human relationships. If you say something to your husband, wife, maybe not thinking it very well through. We used to have a fellow work with us, and he would have went home at night and he would have said, "Picture but no sound." She'd stop talking to him. Something had happened and she wasn't communicating. She had been upset. That relationship had been severed. You and I are in touch. We have two sorts of fellowship. You discover that in John's epistle. First one is a vertical. Our fellowship is with God. And then we have a horizontal fellowship with one another. And it's easy to mar and stop either or both of them. And so it is in John's first epistle. If we sin, and we do, the ideal is that we don't, and as the Spirit of God takes control in our lives, sin should be getting less and less and less. But don't get discouraged. We were talking about this afternoon. So often we do something and then sadly we'll do it again. And we come to the Lord and say, "Lord, I've done it again. I've said it again. I've thought it again." Whatever it is, we say, "Lord, we've done it again." Truth is, the Lord could say, "What is it you've done? For if we repented of it and confessed it before, the Lord removes it from His memory and His mind." Oh, the wonder of it. We know we've done it before, but this book teaches, "Their sins and iniquities will I remember no more." And 1 John tells us, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The thought and the theme is that we shouldn't sin. It shouldn't be the bent of our lives. It shouldn't be our continual habit. And yet, prone to failure. And we have to come again and again and say, "Lord, I'm sorry." And the whole human nature of the flesh seems to take control by times. And sometimes we come short of what God would have us be. And that does put a barrier between us and God. I remember a man coming. He was a missionary. And he was working in Hong Kong. And he came to our place one Sunday. And he spoke to us after the breaking of bread. I'll never forget it. Do you know what he spoke about? He spoke about a bin lid. You'll remember it too. That was what he spoke about. He had, by the time that he was with us, more or less retired. He was making frequent visits to Hong Kong, but he was back living in Australia. And on his visit that had taken him to Hong Kong, he had gone away, and when he came home, he said the bin men had been there. They call them something else. They have a fancy name for them in Australia. Garbologists, I think that's it. Yeah, you know them as bin men. But he said they had been when he was away. They'd emptied the bin, it must have been one of the older type, and they tossed the bin lid on his grass. And when he got home, he said there was a circle burnt. The grass was gone, and there was just yellow nothingness left. What was he telling us? If we allow something to come between us and God, it stops the fellowship. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with the other. But sin comes in and can stop that fellowship. The grass didn't grow. It probably wasn't getting the water. It certainly wasn't getting the light. And in that time that he had been away, it had withered and died. And if we persist on allowing things to become between us and God, we miss the blessing. We stop growing. We cease to be fruitful. And so that's something that can happen. And yet don't get discouraged, because it happens with all us. I'm maybe the worst that could be. And you just sometimes think to yourself, dear, oh dear, oh dear, will I never learn? And there are things that we've got to take control of. And it all starts in here. Mm-hmm. Let the mind of Christ be in us. Philippians chapter 2. And if we learn to think like him, Romans chapter 12, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Still the same. And if I could only, with the Lord's help, give it to the Holy Spirit, well then we might have less problems with our fellowship. But don't get discouraged. I came away without maybe making that clear. And I said to you that the Lord doesn't give up, he persists. I think it was Mr. Spurgeon said that some backsliders go away and stay away. And he said in many cases the problem is they never were forward sliders. In other words, they never had got real life. And after a little while, it's the same picture you get about the seed that the Lord talked about and how it responded, you know, the different types of ground and how this the ground brought forth different types of fruit. And there is a possibility sometimes that people get back and go back, and the reality is they've never gone forward. But many a person goes back. I hope I got that across to you, and we feel sorry for them. And I told you there, but for the grace of God, go any of us. We're only a breath away from that. I was telling some of the folks today, my old granny was in her 80s. My grandfather had gone home to heaven. And there she was, and we used to call a couple of us to see her. And a number of times she said to me when we were going out, pray for me that I won't make a fool of myself at the last. And I used to think, dear Hollis, she's not very likely to make a fool of herself. If she said she was praying for us boys and her teens, that we wouldn't make a fool of herself with whatever we need for her to pray for us. But she was conscious that with the old human nature and a cruel enemy, the devil, on her track, she didn't want to blot her whole life. I said to somebody today, a whole life's testimony can be destroyed in a minute or less if the devil has his way. We need to keep in touch with the Lord Jesus. But yet the wonderful thing is this, he is the Saviour of forgiveness. And his arms are outstretched and open. And for those that do get away, mind you, let me say another thing. All the backsliders haven't left church. There's many on sitting. We may be all been guilty of this. And we feel a coldness. And we feel to ourselves, I'm not what I used to be. And we're there. But we're only there. And so it's possible to get away. But he always welcomes back. And I said to you today that when the Lord works in our lives, that's always with the purpose of restoration, recovery, for prevention of further wrong, and for promotion of his purposes. Now then, that should have been this morning. Now we come to another one. He will not let you off. How am I going to say this? In the course of my life, there have been meetings like this that have had an effect on me. Not as much an effect as they should have, I'll be honest. But things that motivated me a little to live more for the Lord. Sadly, not as much as it should have. I was thinking back, we sang today that hymn, Have Thine Own Way, Lord, Have Thine Own Way. Hold o'er my being, we sang, absolute sway. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. I was young when Ronnie Kearns was in Ballymena many moons ago. I was pretty young. I still remember them singing that. I remember feeling that that's what it should be, that I should allow the Lord to have his way in my life. I vowed that I would do that. Sadly, so often we slip away and slip off. Romans 12 speaks about a living sacrifice. And someone has said the problem with a living sacrifice is it can crawl off the altar. And how often that happens. But that night had an effect on me. I don't suppose any of you, probably Matthew apart maybe, and Michael of course and his wife, will have heard of Jim Flanagan. Anybody heard of Jim Flanagan? I see smiles. There are folks. There you are. Let me tell you about another night. And this was all brought back to my mind fairly recently. Well, a few years ago. A few years ago, I was asked to stand in for a man at a conference because the man was ill. And it was rather short notice. And I agreed to do it, and then I said, Lord, you'll have to give me a message. And I got the message, rather unexpectedly, the very next day. And I got it in the airport. Let me tell you what happened. All of a sudden, I went back to a night, Castlereagh Hall, many years ago. I think I was about 18. They had a young people's meeting on a Sunday night in Castlereagh. If I'm being honest, I was there not because I wanted to hear the ministry. I was there because young folks went there and there was a lot of good looking girls, to be quite honest. That's why I was there, along with others. Mr. Flanagan came that night and he spoke 2 Corinthians 5. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Now, I'll stop just for a minute. I hope you know, but let me make it clear if you don't. There's a number of different judgments in your Bible still to happen. There's a judgment for those that have died without Christ called the Great White Throne Judgment that will happen right at the end of time. And it's a judgment for those that have rejected Christ and refused him. And the Lamb's Book of Life will be sought, and whoever's name's not found written in that book, and it will be everybody that will be standing before that awesome throne that will be set up in space, will find themselves cast in the lake of fire. That's what I'm telling you. Revelation 20, you can read it. But those that are saved will not be there. Will not be judged. Why? You see, everybody in the world is either looking back to judgment or forward to it. And we that are saved, we look back to judgment. The judgment that I deserve, it fell on Christ. The hymn says this, on him almighty vengeance fell. It would have sunk the world to hell. He bore it for a ruined race, and thus became my hiding place. Thank God to look back to it. To know that yonder in Calvary, he endured the wrath that should have been mine. Oftentimes, in your Old Testament, you can read about it. When there were sacrifices offered, there's one particularly that comes to mind, when Elijah offered a sacrifice, and the fire came down from heaven, and it consumed the sacrifice, and it consumed the water that the Lord had told them to pour over the sacrifice, and it consumed the whole thing, the whole lot, stones and all. It came down and consumed the sacrifice. The judgment of a holy God had fell on Christ at Calvary. But this is different. For the sacrifice consumed the fire. That's different. On Calvary, what we should have endured for a long eternity in hell in the lake of fire, never ending. What finite people will suffer for an infinite period, an infinite period, endured in a finite period, those hours on the cross, and he consumed their wrath. And for those that trust him, we look back to it, not forward to it. But those that haven't have an awful day to stand before God. Now then, There's another judgment that's the judgment of the living nations that will happen. I don't want to get into this, it'll be all through the thing, but it will happen at the end of tribulation period which lies ahead for this world. They're all excited these days about green issues. If they read Revelation 8 and 9, they'll discover that things will be millions of times worse than it is now, and then nothing they can do will stop it. And a period when God pours out his judgment on the world because they put Christ on a cross. And then at the end of that, he'll appear. And there'll be the judgment of those that are living. I'm trying to explain it all, but there'll be a division of those that have had faith and trust during that period and those that haven't. Believers have no place. Those that are alive presently, we have no fear to look forward to in that sense. But every single one of us must appear before the judgment seat of Christ. It's rather more like what they set up at the end of maybe the Olympic Games or something, where the people are, and those that have earned rewards receive them, and others may get something because they've participated. That's the kind of sense this is. You know, I used to read that and think about it. We'll all have to appear, right or not. That's not what it means. Mr. Flanagan told us different. He told us that it means we must all be made transparent before the judgment seat of Christ. I tell you, this is awesome. Made transparent. How about that all? I kind of forgot about it a bit, although it was one of those nights that had an impact on my life when I was young. But that day, having told the Lord I needed a message for a conference, we were going to England on business, and I went into the airport, and my things started bleeping when I went through the door that you go through. And there was a guy appeared, and it was at the stage where they had just got these new machines. And he says, go in there, put your feet in the 2-foot marks, hold up your hands, and that'll tell us. I said, what happens? He said, it will make transparent everything about you. I was back to that meeting. And there I was, and I went. And then he said to me, tell me, what have you got in here? I said, I've nothing in here. He said, I think you have. Sure enough, when I looked in, I had a pound or two stuck in my breast pocket of my shirt, and the jolly machine saw it. And then he said, what's in here? I said, I've nothing in there either. He said, you have. There I was again. Well, if that happened once, that was all right. Just very recently, I was over again in business, and we were coming back out of Gatwick, and I went in, and it was the same old thing. The alarm went off, and I had been very thorough, I thought, about taking everything out of deposits and everything. And there was a fella, he was quite a jovial fella. He said to me, go in there and stand in that thing. And I went in and stood and held my hands up, and he said, are you ready? I said, I am. He said, it's too late, it's over. He says, what have you got in here? I said, I've nothing in here. Definitely nothing. I checked, I cleared everything, and I put it all in through the machine and the tray. I said, I've nothing. He said, you're telling me lies. I said, I'm not telling you lies. He said, you are telling me lies. He said, what's in there? Look. The new system in England, very advanced for a boy from Northern Ireland. You don't buy a train ticket any longer. You put your credit card in where you get on, and you put it back in when you get off, and it charges you for the distance that you've travelled. I'd done that, and I forgot and stuck the card in here. He said, you're telling me lies. Come on again. It's quite good fun about it. But again, it took me back. We must all be made transparent before the judgment seat of Christ. He's going to look right within. He's able to discern something that will be made manifest. The motives. The mind that we have. What's in here? It will be made clear what's in our heart. And those things are affections, our ambitions, and those things that could be in here. I tell you, this is so. Be honest. We all like to appear like solid mahogany. The truth is that we're really just chipboard or MDF with a veneer on, if we're being honest. And I wouldn't like anyone to see all the things that have gone through this mind and that could be in my heart. Neither would you. But there's a day coming when everything's going to be made transparent. That we might receive back again the things done in our body according to what we have done, whether it's good or bad. Now, it's not sin in question. Sin was dealt with at Calvary. This is dealing with service. And we saw, I hope, that we have been saved for a purpose. I hope we've seen that. We've read it from Ephesians chapter 2. These works, we don't work for salvation, but we work from salvation. And it speaks about these things that God has purposed and planned for us away back in the past. That brings me back to what Jim Flanagan told us that night and many another one since. God has a blueprint for each of our lives. He has a plan. He has bought us. We belong to Him. Precious blood paid redemption's price. And we're redeemed for a purpose. And God has that already set. The good works that God has before ordained that we should walk in them. Sobering, isn't it? Not just what we have done, but why we've done it. When it goes to the intents of the heart, there's occasions when we do the right thing, but maybe for the wrong reason. There's occasions when we do the right thing and we do it half-heartedly, and heart trouble will be exposed and we'll be seen. I tell you, this is so. To stand there that day before the one that gave Himself for us on the cross, who held nothing back, one also thought to stand before Him and be made just transparent in His sight. Purpose of living. I've left it in a few things, you'll allow me. You know me now, I like things that run in wee letters that I can remember them. Jim told us that night that will be looked at on a number of different aspects. Number one, as sons in the family. Sons in the family. There is that thing, like father, like son. I'm afraid it's happened in our family, and two of my boy, one of my sons and a wee grandson, dear help them. Everybody tells them they're like their father and grandfather. Don't you feel sorry for them? But there they are. It's just the way they are. Are you and I like our Heavenly Father? Are you and I like the... You say, how do we know what He's like? One came from heaven. He shows us the Father. I told you this morning, Peter says He's left us an example that we should follow His steps. Are we like Him? The disciples were invited, and you and I are the same, to be linked with Him, to be linked, to learn, and to learn from Him. How did they learn? They learned from what they saw. As the Lord moved amongst people, they learned from what they saw, and they learned from what He said. And so as they were there, they were learning day by day. They were just like us. Tell somebody this today. They were slow learners. They weren't any different from you and me. Take comfort, take courage. The Lord said to them, I think it's maybe Luke 9, you'll find I only noticed it recently. He said to them, let this sink into your ears. They hadn't got it. And He was telling them to let it sink in. And they had lots of lessons to learn, lessons in humility. Because they were arguing amongst themselves as to who would be the greater. And the Lord was the humble one. And they had to learn that. Can't stay with it. They had to learn lessons in harmony. There was other boys, they were involved in and trying to help people. And they said, we saw people, but they don't walk with us, so we forbade them. And the Lord said, hold on a minute. They that are not against us are for us. And they learned about harmony. They learned about care. They learned about concern. And as life went on, they were learning. And they should have been coming more like the Lord Jesus. As should you now. But here's the thing. Are we any more like the Lord tonight than we were a week ago or a year ago? That's a big one. Sons in the family, the thought is likeness. Romans 12, it speaks about being transformed. The thought is a metamorphosis. It comes from the inside out. And that's what happens when we take in new life. It should manifest itself coming out. And just as the caterpillar turns into a butterfly, so you and I should change from being like the sinful world around us to being like the Saviour. But more. Mr. Flanagan told us that night we would be made transparent as to how we were as saints in the fellowship. Now, I hope you know that saints aren't the ones that they canonise. Half of them are not saints at all, maybe all of them. Saints are everybody that's set apart for the Lord, wherever they might be. Paul writes to the saints in Philippi and other places. It just means set apart ones. Those that are set apart from the world, set apart for the Lord. And there they are in the fellowship, and the thought is holiness. The Lord said, be ye holy, for I am holy. There's a challenge for you. If you want to read a book on that, you can buy William MacDonald's book on holiness. Be holy. And there's so much to learn. Can't stay with it. But then, for want of alliteration, there's another thing. We'll be made transparent as servants in the firm. The family business, if you like. We read today that we're fellow workers with God. What a thought that you and I are in the same business as the Lord is. Was that reaching people for Christ? Purpose in the Lord has for us. Back to Michael's father. I told you about him the other night as he came out. I really got to learn from him. I looked to every night I went expectantly. Let me tell you that. I remember going into the prayer meeting a couple of nights in, and he says, Lord, we're here to lament the failure of the Christian church. He said, in less than 100 years, you can get Coca-Cola at every corner, and every hedge, and every corner of the road, and every country in the world. And in 2,000 years, you still can't get the gospel. He was right. Coca-Cola marketing department has spread their drink and their message to the church and field. So what I'm going to tell you about is the very last night, he came out. And he looked at me and he shook my hands and he said, I hope you believe you're saved for a purpose. At this stage, I was a wee bit more sharper, I thought. I said to him, yes, I do believe that, brother. Well, he said, what is the purpose or what are the purposes? So I bounced it back and I said, what have you in your mind? Well, he said, there's a number of them. That we're saved that we might sing his praises, that we might worship his person, that we might be conformed to the image of his son, that we might win souls for Christ, that we might be to the praise of the glory of his grace. And he said, there may be more. Have you ever thought about it? Every one of them would be better affected in heaven, but you're not in heaven. Good night. Well, he was gone. Just as quick. I have never forgotten. You can't win souls in heaven. If we wait till then, we've missed it. All those years ago, made an impact. I hope tonight does for some folks here. Follow me, said the Lord. The truth is, if we do follow him, automatically we'll become fishers of men and women. There we are, servants in this firm. What's the thought? The thought here is faithfulness. It's required in a steward or a servant that he'd be found faithful. I was just lamenting that today some of the ladies, I look back over life, over contacts that I missed, folks that we did business with, folks that come in and out, the window cleaner cleaned their windows for a wee lifetime. A few weeks ago on the Tuesday he cleaned the windows, Wednesday was an eternity. I'm just wondering, is he saved now? He professed to be an atheist. But I'm just wondering, as he's saying now, why did those boys not talk to me? Why did they not tell me? Why did they not persuade me? And in all those years, I don't think I ever had a decent conversation with him. And he's gone. What a challenge. He can't win souls in heaven. There's more. We'll be made transparent as soldiers in the fight. The thought here is courageousness. Here we are living in enemy territory. We're in a spiritual battle. This book makes it clear. I'm a chicken. I'll tell you that. We're living in a day when it's going to cost something to stand for Christ. We're living in this multicultural, multi-way. You know, as I come down, I had one Christian radio, and there was a boy on, forgive me, Blether. How he was on there, I don't know, but he was a leader in some of the churches. And he was trying to say that really it wasn't important what faith it was, as long as we have faith. In other words, and it will do, as long as you have faith. That's not what this book says. The Lord said, I am the door. He said, I am the way, the only way. Peter says, neither is there salvation in any other. And it lightly cost us, but we've got to stand for it. And a man getting a suit a few Saturdays ago, two or three Saturdays ago. He was a minister in the Presbyterian Church. He said to me, you know, we're living in a day. He said to me, we're living in a day when people don't want this message. I said, I know that. He said he was invited to take a service somewhere. He didn't tell me where it was. And he said when he arrived, the man that was there was away on holidays. And somebody else met him at the door and he said, we don't want any of this preaching gospel business here. He said, I said, I have no other message. And if you don't want it, I'm going home. And he said, I went home. I don't know who took it, he said. He said, he put in a complaint to the headquarters. And he said, the man from the headquarters came on to him and he said, you did what was right. If they refuse the message, we have no other message. And I said to him, it's going to be costly. He said, I know this. He says, if it means going to prison for standing for the fact that there's one way and one way only to heaven, he said, we're going to have to go there. Happened in the first century. Happened in many centuries since. But I'll tell you, I'm just a chicken. And sometimes these days where nearly every, I don't know what it's like here, but up north, nearly everything's put live on the internet when you speak. And I just don't know what the end result of some of it's going to be. There was another man on warning us just recently that if we say something like I have just said, you can be taken up for hate crime just because you said other ways are not as good as our way. It's not what we say. It's what the book says. And I'm just a chicken. Heart trouble. Our affections. Our attitudes. Some of you have maybe been and had a heart scan. I have a couple recently. And there they are. Well, they don't tell you all they're saying, to be honest. And sometimes I wonder what they do say. Somewhere, doesn't it? Am I half-hearted? Or am I whole-hearted? So many half-hearted. Yet there's a group in the Bible. And they're known as this, a band of men whose heart the Lord had touched. Nice to be like that, wouldn't it? But there's this day that lies ahead. Can we do anything about it? We can't. You see, you and I, we all carry a mobile scanner. Hebrews 4 tells us. That's it there. Do we allow it to work? It's a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Shouldn't we put ourselves before this mobile scanner? Wouldn't it be a good thing if we let it work and made ourselves transparent between ourselves and God? And then we're able to bow and say, Lord, I've just been hopeless and just a hypocrite. But Lord, change me while I'm still here. And for whatever little time that lies ahead, help me to live for you. Hebrews 4, we read it. This book's alive. It's able. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. And it can probe these thoughts and the intents of the heart. The medical world, they're all telling us to have checkups early. Get it caught quick. Here we are. We have the opportunity to make it effective and to let the Lord have his way in our hearts. How do we do it? That's why I read the rest of Hebrews 4. We need help. There's a throne of grace. There's a great high priest. He's touched with the feeling of our infirmities. And he's inviting us. Matthew 11, he invites us to come and be linked with him. Hebrews 4, he invites us to come and receive from him, that we might find grace to help in every time of need. He says, come. He knows how we feel. That's why he came as a child. He's been here. He's never been affected by sin like we are. He knows what it's like to be weary. We all get weary at times, don't we? We all get disappointed and downcast and disillusioned. He knows all about folks that are like that. He lived amongst them. He saw it firsthand. He knows what it's like in the sadness of life. He was there when there was illness. Peter's mother-in-law was ill. He knew what that was like. The dear friends that he loved so much in Bethany, he knew what it was like when illness came into that home. I talked to you the other night about him being the right place at the right time. I love that we knew him. When he was 4 days late, he was still right in time. He didn't come to do a great thing, that he might come later and do a greater thing. He didn't come to make a sick person better. He came to make a dead person live. Mm-hmm. And he's there. It's the one that we have. And the invitation for us is, having searched the scriptures, I have to tell you, I'm not what I should be. Mm-hmm. I remember that night, like yesterday, when the Lord probed Castlereagh Hall. And for the first time I was made aware that there was a day when there would be no bluff, no hypocrisy, when the all-seeing eye of the Lord would see right through us. 1 Corinthians 3, you watch this clock not keep us late for tea or dinner, whatever it is. 1 Corinthians 3, Paul's writing about the same subject. As members of your local fellowship here in Goree or wherever you're from, we have the opportunity of building into it. Paul spoke about it. Peter speaks about the building as well, chapter 2. But Paul speaks about it in the local sense. And every one of us, we are building in something to the church of God. It could be wood, hay, or stubble. Things that will be just burned up that are just empty. I listened to another man on the way down. He said there's loads of boys speaking these days, and it's all just an airy fairy thing, and there's no judgment, and there's no holiness of God, and there's no responsibility to God. He says, and if you preach that, you'll fill the place, for that's what people want to hear. be burnt up, wood, hay, stubble. Then there's costly stuff, and it costs something to build this in. It takes time, it takes effort, it takes so much. The gold, silver, the precious stones. And you know and I know that when fire comes in them, they'll stand when the others burn up. That day, every man shall have praise of God. One of the marvels, isn't it? That he gives us the gifts that enable us to do what he wants us to do. So he gives us it. And then he's going to reward us for doing it. Isn't he God awesome? His grace is beyond understanding. And you and I have the privilege, when we're here, to do something for him. And ask the musicians, where are the musicians? Mm. I'm going to bounce this on you. Just thought of this as we were sitting. I didn't get time to warm you. Number 42. And number 42. I remember a man saying that he gave out this hymn. He said, I don't like this hymn because if we gave him everything, then we would never have to sing it. But I think if we gave him everything, we would still want to sing it, for we wish we had more to give him. By and by, when I look in his face, beautiful face, thorn-shadowed face, by and by, when I look in his face, I wish I had given him more, so much more of my love than I ever gave before. By and by, when I look in his face, I wish I had given him more. Maybe we could, can we take time to sing these three verses? Is that all right? Let me see. All right, ladies. Sorry for my seat.